NATO ministers met on Wednesday to discuss the former Soviet Republic of Georgia. This was NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg at a press conference Wednesday.
Good evening. The Secretary General will brief you on the NATO Georgia Commission, and then he'll be here to take your questions, Secretary General.
Good evening. We have just finished a productive meeting of the NATO Georgia Commission. Georgia is among our closest partners, and we deeply appreciate its many contributions to our shared security. Georgia is one of the largest contributors to our training mission in Afghanistan, helping to stabilize the country and deny safe haven to international terrorists. Georgia also provides troops to the NATO Response Force. This afternoon, we discussed how we can build on our cooperation. At our summit in July, Allied leaders reaffirmed that Georgia will join the alliance. This is in line with our decision at the Bucharest summit in 2008. NATO's door remains open. Today, allies also restated their full support for Georgia's sovereignty, security, and territorial integrity. We call on Russia to end its recognition of Abkhazia and South Ossetia and to withdraw its forces from these regions of Georgia. We are also concerned by Russia's military buildup in the Black Sea region. Black Sea security is a priority for NATO and for Georgia. We are working together here more closely than ever before. With training for Georgian Coast Guard boarding teams, more cooperation between Georgian and NATO naval forces, and with cooperation between Georgia's Joint Maritime Operations Center and NATO's Maritime Command. Allies also welcomed the continued progress Georgia is making on reforms, in particular on more effective security and defense institutions and modernizing their armed forces. The substantial NATO-Georgia package is already bolstering their country's defense reforms, including with our joint training and evaluation center. We encourage Georgia to continue along the path of reform. Tonight, ministers will discuss our work to achieve fair burden sharing in the alliance. Over the past 2 years, European allies and Canada have increased their defense spending by $41 billion. And I expect to see further increases next year. So we are investing more in our security, but there is a renewed sense of urgency that we must do more. And this is what we will discuss during our dinner tonight. With that, I'm ready to take your questions.
And we're starting with the lady here, Georgian Public Broadcaster.
Georgian Public Broadcaster, Mr. Secretary General, you were talking now about implementation process of substantive package. After we will finish this process, I mean the substantive package between Georgia and NATO. What else we can do before our membership, before our invitation to this organization? As we know, Georgian minister had today some new ideas. What do you think? Thank you.
So we will do more together with Georgia next year, and we will continue to implement the substantial package, and we will do more together in different areas. Like, for instance, in the maritime domain, where we have started to work together, training the Coast Guard, having closer cooperation between our naval forces, but also between the NATO Maritime Command and the Georgian Maritime Operation Center. We will also have the big exercise next year, which is a strong sign of the close cooperation, how we work together. And we are also, of course, very much appreciating the fact that forces, Georgian forces, are participating in NATO exercises, missions. I mentioned already Afghanistan, but also the fact that Georgia are contributing forces to the NATO response force. So in many different areas, we are doing more together in different missions and operations and training. But then, of course, we will provide support with reforms, with modernizing the armed forces of Georgia. And the defense minister put forward some additional ideas. We will, of course, look into them, because this is an ongoing process where we do more together. And I think what the NATO-Georgia Commission meeting today showed, that this is something that is of benefit both for NATO and for Georgia. This is about protecting each other. This is about supporting each other. This is about helping each other. And this is about learning from each other. And it's about facing common security challenges together. So we really appreciate the close partnership, and that was strongly expressed by all allies at the meeting today.
Gentleman in the front row here.
Mr. Secretary General, I want to touch upon the issue on which today Georgia's Prime Minister Mamuka Bakhtadze made a special statement. The situation concerns a 29-year-old Georgian citizen, woman, a mother of three children, who was detained in the Gori municipality by the occupation forces. You know, we have had recently another case when Georgian citizen Archil Tatunashvili was also kidnapped by the occupation war forces and then killed. As we see, Russian occupation still goes on, and in this case, Georgian citizens are kidnapped on their own territory, on the territory of their country. It has been reported that this Georgian citizen, with this woman of three children, has been sentenced to a 2 months pre-trial detention. And I think it's very important to call on Russia to stop such activities by the occupation forces. We know whatever happens on the occupied territories, Russia bears responsibility for this. We now speak about the life of human beings, about the Georgian citizens who can't live safely along of the occupation border. And this situation, it still goes on, and it's repeated and repeated, and it's another Georgian citizen, which not detained by the occupation forces, but is kidnapped.
It's hard for me to comment on specific cases, I don't know, but what I can say in general is that recognize and support the territorial integrity of Georgia within its international recognized borders, meaning that we call on Russia to reverse its recognition of Abkhazia and South Ossetia as kind of independent states, because these regions are part of Georgia and within its international recognized borders. And we call on Russia to withdraw its forces from both Abkhazia and South Ossetia. And I think that there are many reasons to call on Russia to do that. That's the only way to respect the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of Georgia. But of course, also that's a way to address all the incidents examples we have related to the challenges and problems this military presence creates for people living in Georgia.
The gentleman in the second row, Politiken.
Jakob Svendsen from the Danish daily Politiken. I would like to hear burden sharing is a core issue also on this meeting. It is a matter of fact that Denmark will not be able to fulfill the Wales Declaration in 2024. And I guess quite a number of other countries will not either. What will happen? What is the reaction from the alliance when these countries, for instance, Denmark, will not fulfill the Wales Declaration?
Let me start by saying that we are actually making a lot of progress. After years of cutting defense budgets across the whole alliance, we now have seen four consecutive years with increase across Europe and Canada. And for the first time in many years, we see real increase in all allies, from all NATO member states. So that's a significant change. It's a totally different picture than we saw just a few years ago. All allies have stopped the cuts. All allies have started to increase. And more allies meet the 2% guideline. When we made the pledge back in 2014, only three allies spent 2% of GDP on defense. This year, we expect eight allies to be at 2% or very close to 2%. It depends a bit on GDP estimates. And the majority of allies have put forward plans on how to reach 2% within 2024. I expect all allies to make good on the commitment, the promises we all made together in 2014 in Wales, and which we reiterated as late as in July this year. So we have a good story to tell. After years of going in the wrong direction, we have started to invest more, and that's something that applies for all NATO allies, including Denmark. But we still have a long way to go, and we will continue to push those allies who have not put forward credible plans to do so. I'm not underestimating the challenges, but I'm saying that compared to where we were just 4 years ago, we have made really significant progress. Let me also add that burden sharing is about more than cash. It's about contributions to NATO missions and operations and about capabilities. And I would like to commend Denmark for being a country which has really contributed to many different NATO missions and operations, especially in Afghanistan, where Denmark also have paid a high price, a high number of casualties. And then Denmark is investing in modern capabilities. I know that they're now investing in, for instance, F-35s. So we welcome all of this. At the same time, it's not contributions cannot substitute for investments. We need more spending and we need better spending. So we will continue to focus both on cash, capabilities and contributions, and expect all of us to deliver on that.
Lady in the front row.
Olga Kravchenko, you have talked about cyber threats and about setting up a cyber operating center, and in the next year in Ukraine, presidential and parliamentary election will be held. And is it possible cooperation between NATO and Ukraine to tackle these threats during the election?
Yeah. Thank you. NATO has already been helping Ukraine with strengthening its cyber defenses, its cyber capabilities. We are doing that through our trust funds. We have a trust fund for cyber defense, and by providing funding and support in strengthening the cyber defenses, the cyber capabilities of Ukraine, we also help them with defending their own networks and their own infrastructure. For instance, NATO is now helping Ukraine with setting up a cyber incident response center, which will be one way to help them to deal with incidents or attempts to interfere or to meddle or to hack into their cyber networks. So we are already providing that kind of help, and I promised President Poroshenko when he was here at the NATO summit that NATO allies will continue to provide support, including to the trust funds, and one of them are actually funding activities related to cyber.
Al Arabiya, gentleman of them.
Nordin Fridi from Al Arabiya News Channel. Mr. Secretary General, in Iraq, Iraq has now a president and prime minister. I'm talking about Iraq. I would like to know the level of preparation of the NATO mission, when it will start on the, in Iraq, a country which Iran is being involved in its instability. You mentioned that very clearly yesterday, as well as France accused officially Iran to be behind the terrorist plot this summer in France. Germany accept to extradite one Iranian diplomat. So my question about Iran, how concerned NATO is with this Iranian intelligence activities in Europe? And do you think that NATO members should take a collective step to push back the intelligence, the Iranian intelligence activities in Europe? Thank you.
First, on the training mission in Iraq, well, we launched a mission at our summit in July, and now we are gradually increasing our presence. And we are also very grateful to Canada, which have taken on the responsibility to lead the training mission in Iraq. There will be a Canadian commander that will be in charge of the training mission, and we are gradually now building up this training mission. We have already started to do so. We have to remember that NATO is already in Iraq. We have been there for some time already, but what we decided at the summit was to launch a new training mission to scale up our presence and our activities in Iraq, because we strongly believe that the best way to prevent Daesh to come back in any form is to strengthen the Iraqi forces' capabilities or their capability to be able to fight terrorism themselves. So therefore, training Iraqi forces is one of the best weapons we have in the fight against terrorism. When it comes to Iran, all allies are concerned about the destabilizing activities of Iran in the region, in different neighboring countries. We are, of course, also concerned about the fact that Iran continues to provide support to different armed groups in different countries. So this is something we follow, and NATO allies are, of course, also working together, for instance, when it comes to intelligence and other ways to address some of the challenges which are related to so destabilizing activities and support for terrorist organizations.
Okay, we got one question over there.
Thank you. Yuri Shiko, Deutsche Welle, Secretary General. You talk today about Black Sea, and Azov Sea is a part of a region. Yeah, unfortunately, there wasn't NATO-Ukraine Commission today, but today ministerial is the first one since the escalation taking place in the Azov Sea. You know that Russia is conducting excessive controls of ships coming to Ukrainian ports. For example, European ships, and also Russia started several months ago military build-up in the sea, and Ukraine now is building naval base here. What NATO is planning to do about it, you know, to alleviate this security challenge, new security challenge? Thank you very much.
We follow the situation in the Azov Sea very closely, and we are concerned because what we see is that Russia is impeding normal civilian traffic, commercial vessels, and of course that's a problem for Ukraine, which have seen that normal traffic from some of its harbors in Mariupol and other places has been impeded, or there have been problems with the normal traffic in and out. I think this just is one example of a pattern we have seen, that Russia illegally annexed Crimea, then continued to destabilize especially Donbas. But also through the activities in the Azov Sea, they continue to try to destabilize Ukraine. So what NATO does is that we provide support with political support, with practical support, partly within the different NATO programs, trust funds, and so on. But of course, NATO allies also provide support bilaterally to Ukraine. And again, this is about partly political, helping to modernize the Ukrainian armed forces, the security institutions, different trust funds, but also about equipment and other kinds of direct support. This was something we discussed when we met President Poroshenko here in July. It was also something I discussed briefly with him when I met him in New York recently. And NATO will continue to provide support to Ukraine, but of course we will also strongly support the efforts to find a political solution to fully implement the Minsk agreements, which is the only viable way to a peaceful settlement of the conflict and the problems we see in and around Ukraine, including the Azov Sea.
Thank you very much. This is all we have time for now, and we will see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Bolivia holds the presidency of the UN Security Council for the month of October. On Wednesday, Bolivia's ambassador, Sasha Sergio Laurenti Solis, held a press conference and laid out the council's work program for the month.
Muy buenas tardes.
Good afternoon.
Allow me, please, to first of all thank you for waiting. We just finished our consultations on the Ebola outbreak in DRC, and the Security Council has adopted some press elements, and I'd like to start by reading that out first, and then we will continue with the with our program of work for this month, if you agree with that. Okay? So, regarding the press elements, members of the Security Council were briefed by the Director General of the WHO on the latest developments with regard to the outbreak of Ebola in the DRC. Members of the Security Council called for immediate cessation of hostilities by all armed groups and encouraged the international community to continue to support ongoing efforts of WHO and the DRC combating and mitigating the spread of the Ebola virus, and further noted the challenging environment and the need for timely response by all actors. Members of the Security Council highlighted the urgency of the medical response because the disease could spread rapidly, including to neighboring countries, possibly impacting regional stability. Members of the Security Council reiterated their appreciation for the efforts of the government of DRC, the World Health Organization, MONUSCO, and the international community to address and contain the disease, noting the challenging operating environment. Members of the Security Council urged all parties to the conflict to ensure safe and unhindered access for humanitarian and medical personnel to patients and others in need, and also stressed the response teams must never, under any circumstances, be a target. Members of the Security Council underscored in this context that more needs to be done to address the security situation and condemned all attacks against civilians. Members of the Security Council expressed the need to continue to follow developments closely. Members of the Security Council remain committed to engaging with relevant stakeholders on this issue during their upcoming field visit to the DRC. Thank you for your attention. And now, should I do it in English or Spanish?
English.
English? Okay. Maybe both, yes. As I said, thank you for waiting. We just want to brief you on our key meetings and events of the Bolivian Presidency of the Security Council. Of course, we are honored to preside this main organ of the system. Our key meetings for our presidency. One of them is going to be held on the 16th of October, and we will have a debate under the agenda item of maintenance of international peace and security. And the issue that we want to tackle is the root causes of conflict and the role of natural resources. We expect, we were informed that the Secretary General will be the main briefer. A concept note will be distributed very soon. We are proposing to go beyond the reason of lack of governance, of poor management of natural resources as the main focus of our discussion. Instead, we suggest taking into consideration the role of international financial networks, foreign interests, and armed groups whose presence and actions on the ground are an important factor in either contributing to keep stability or generating the conditions for the outbreak of violent conflict. Also, of course, one of the main objectives is to discuss how to control exploitation and access to natural resources has been a catalyst for outbreak, escalation, and continuation of conflicts, including unlawful invasions and the destabilization of states, causing humanitarian disasters and long-term consequences. The second key meeting will be held on the 25th of October. You know that we have a yearly open debate on women, peace and security. That's going to be on the 25th. We are convening a meeting at a ministerial level. Also, the Secretary General will be our main briefer. We plan to have a Palestinian representative from civil society and also some other briefers. The concept will be circulated as well. And we want to focus this debate on the discussion on the political and economic empowerment of women as a mean of inclusion and enhanced participation of women in peace processes. We also have, as you know, the quarterly open debate on the Middle East, including the Palestinian question. We are planning on having additional briefers that will be confirmed in due time. Another key event of our presidency is, of course, the visit, the mission to the DRC that will start tomorrow until early next week. We're proud to co-lead this visit with our French and Equatorial Guinean colleagues. And as you know, one of the key focuses of this visit is the upcoming elections on the DRC, and also, as we have discussed today with the members of the Council, the outbreak of the Ebola virus in that country. Along with our friends from Poland and the Netherlands, we are planning to discuss, hopefully adopt during this month, a resolution on mine action, following the one that we adopted during the month of June of last year. As you've seen in our program of work that has already been adopted, we have meetings on Minurso, Syria, a briefing on Colombia on the 10th of October. That will be, of course, very important due to the change of government in that country. There's the end of mandates of some peacekeeping missions, and for instance, we are planning to adopt a resolution on the support of UNISFA on October the 15th. We have consultations on UNDOF. We have we are going to follow up the political track on Syria, MINUSMA, UNAMID, MINUSCA. Also regarding UNISFA, we have the annual briefing by the President of the International Court of Justice to the Security Council. We have a meeting also on Cyprus. This year reports on progress towards a settlement and implementation of Resolution 2430. By the end of that day, the 30th, we will have an informal wrap-up session during the afternoon. There is a possibility, of course, as you know, that we might have some other meetings during the month if there is a need, a request from any member state, of member of the council, or an emergency. That's a quick list of the issues that we want to tackle during this month. So I'm open to your questions if there's any. Yes, please.
Hello, my name is Shauna McGee from Kyoto News, and on behalf of the United Nations Correspondents Association, thank you so much for having this briefing. Good luck, and I hope you're available to us. You and your press team will keep us updated as others have, so please. I would like to ask you about North Korea. I don't see it on the agenda. A lot happened last month under the chairman, the meeting presided by Secretary Pompeo.
Yes.
A lot of meetings in the region. Do you expect holding any meetings under your presidency? Have you had any requests? And secondly, if I may, ask about the update on the 1718 report, which was due out last month, and there were differences of opinion about the content. What is the status on that right now? Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Let's, please. Yes.
Thank you. My name is Jordan Nakamsi from Jordan. I have a question about the issue of Palestine. If you can tell us if, who is the main briefer from the Secretariat? Is he going to be the SG or the Special Envoy? And also, you wrote with your colleagues a few months ago a letter to the SG asking them to have the report on settlements in writing, and still we don't have anything in writing. Can you tell us why? Another question, in your own opinion as Ambassador of Bolivia, why do you think all resolution from the Security Council on Palestine never been executed? Is it because they are from Chapter 6 and would be one day that the Security Council will adopt a resolution under Chapter 7 where they have at least the resolution has a teeth that can have sanctions or something? Gracias, señor.
Muchas gracias. Please.
Thank you, Ambassador, and I'd like to wish you a fruitful presidency. Regarding the 16th briefing, besides the Secretary General, will there be anyone else briefing? Also, at which level will Bolivia be represented? And finally, I'd like to know if Bolivia will be discussing any specific examples regarding the role of natural resources in conflict. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Please, we're going. Please.
During the week of the general debate, there was a lot of discussion of attempts to organize Brazil, Colombia, Peru, and can't remember the fourth country to provoke some kind of conflict with Venezuela. I don't know whether you'll be whether this has reached a level where it would be handled in the Security Council, but do you have any comment about that?
Sorry. Thank you. Please.
Thank you very much, Edith Lederer from the Associated Press. One follow-up on North Korea. Russia has said that they plan to circulate a draft resolution which would endorse the progress that's been made on the North Korea track. Have you seen any draft, and is this something that you're expecting during your presidency? And on the trip to Congo, could you elaborate a little more on who you're going to see? What's the Security Council's message going to be to President Kabila, to the opposition, to everybody else that you're going to meet with?
Thank you very much. Please.
Thank you. Afrah Nasri, Yemeni journalist from the Atlantic Council. I read the Security Council program of work for October, and as you know, Yemen is the world's largest humanitarian crisis. And I was wondering why Yemen was only at the footnotes of the program. Don't you think it deserves more attention than that? And why I was blocked by Bolivia UN mission Twitter account when I made that statement that it was at the footnotes of the program. They blocked me on Twitter.
We're going to unblock you right away. I don't know. I have no idea. But please.
Yeah. Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you. And congratulations. I'm Abdulhamid Zayem, from Qatar Arabi.
First, about the natural resources. As you know, that Israel takes 80% of its water from the occupied West Bank. And this issue has not been discussed thoroughly at the Security Council. With this special meeting or the signature meeting of Bolivia would focus on that issue. On the other hand, also, I ask the president of the Security Council, every president of the Security Council, if you ever suggest to take the Security Council in a field trip to Gaza to see for your with your own eyes what's going on there, would you, under your presidency, suggest that? I know maybe there will be difficulties, but would you even suggest this visit to Gaza? Thank you very much.
Okay, please.
Thank you, Ambassador. Evelyn Leopold, Independent Media, and Dag Hammarskjöld Fund for Journalists. When you're looking at resources as a basis for conflict, are you going to be looking at that in the DRC, which seems to have a whole history of it? Yes. And secondly, which aspect of the continuing Ukrainian-Russian conflict are you looking at in non-proliferation at the footnote here?
Okay. Allow me just to answer those questions, and then we'll have a second round. On the issue of the DPRK, we are not planning a meeting. We had, as you mentioned, one at the end of the month, which was the last meeting of the council. But of course, if there is need for that, the council will meet. Regarding the status of the 1718 report, discussions are still going on in the council. That's how far I can go in terms of the information. And there's no draft. We haven't received any draft. No one has circulated any draft regarding DPRK yet. We don't know if that will happen. Then regarding Palestine, there were a few questions. The main briefer will be Mr. Bladenov, the special envoy. And you know, this is the quarterly open debate on that. I think we have the in terms of the resolution on settlements, the next meeting will be on December, and the 10 members of the council that have sent a letter to the security to the Secretary General asking for a written report have all of them mentioned that issue in the last meeting that we have regarding this resolution that we are expecting to have. As is common understanding, we are expecting to have a written report on that resolution. Then on our meeting on the 26th on natural resources. We haven't decided yet in which level my country will be represented, but we are planning to have a high level representative on that meeting. We are going to have another briefer, but we haven't confirmed that name yet. As soon as we have that, you will be informed. Then, on what issues should be tackled, I mean, if I may say a couple of things in my national capacity, of course, for us, as President Morales has stressed in his statement and Security Council, natural resources is a very, very important issue if we talk about conflicts. It is one of the root causes of conflicts, the competition for natural resources. And we know that natural resources has been a reason why in different moments in our recent history, the UN Charter has been violated. Just to mention a couple of examples, the invasion to Iraq has extremely linked to oil, and also the issue that one of you mentioned regarding Palestine. The natural resources, of course, is one of the reasons of the occupation. We hope that we discuss those kind of issues within the members of the Security Council while we address this one. On Venezuela, we have no plans of having any meetings regarding Venezuela. I can say that in my national capacity, and we have stressed this in different meetings of the Council, Venezuela is not a threat to international peace and security, and it does not belong in the agenda of the Security Council. Also, regarding Yemen, we are, of course, ready to have a meeting on Yemen if it's requested by any members. We believe, and I speak in my national capacity, that it is not just one of the worst tragedies that we are facing as a family, the human family, but also it is a man-made disaster. And, of course, the Security Council has a responsibility there. And regarding your Twitter account, I have no idea, but I will ask my colleagues to not to block anyone. No one should be blocked by that. On the DRC, the trip will meet the Vice Prime Minister, the Minister of Foreign Affairs. A meeting with President Kabila is still to be confirmed. Also, the Prime Minister is to be confirmed. We are planning to have meetings with the civil society representatives, with the leaders of the opposition, with the CENI, and also with MONUSCO. As I have pointed out, one of the issues would be the upcoming elections, of course, and also now the recent outbreak of the Ebola virus. I think...
What's the Council's message going to be in Congo?
To uphold the resolutions that the Council has already adopted on this particular issue. And that's what I can say so far. Gaza. The visit to Gaza. I mean, we have proposed, and we said it in one of the open meetings, that the Council should go to Gaza. Not Gaza, also to the West Bank. It should pay a visit to Palestine. If we would have more time in the Council, we would keep on insisting on that issue. Let's hope that in the future that becomes a reality. The Council has visited many, many different regions of the world, and this is one of the most important issues from our point of view that the Council deals with. It's according to where you see it from, 50 years or 70 years in which the United Nations has not fulfilled its promise for a Palestinian sovereign state. And we would, of course, welcome a visit to that, to Palestine. Yes, sir, please.
Muchas gracias, Señor Presidente. My name is Abadi. Looking at the provisional program you have before you now, before us all, I see that the subject of MINURSO is listed four times. Why is it necessary to have it four times listed? What do you anticipate?
Thank you. Who else, please?
Ivy Strade from Prensa Latina, and I'm going to speak in Spanish, if you allow me.
I'd like to ask a question to you in your national capacity, because there's some issues in Latin America and the Caribbean that are quite significant. The maritime request put forth by Bolivia and the evaluation that will be done by the General Assembly. Could you give us your views on this? Thank you.
Yes. Please.
Yes, Rhonda Halbin, and I'm a blog columnist at TOTS, Tage Zeitung, and my question is about the sanctions on the DPRK. One of the sanctions is on, essentially has led to the TB fund, the funding for TB that has been taken away. And UNICEF has lost the ability to have its people administering I think it's TB, malaria, and other things. There's other very serious problems from the way these sanctions are being administered. Is the Security Council going to look into this? Because it doesn't seem that the Committee of Experts is capable of overseeing this in a way that respects the fact that humanitarian activity is supposed to be going on and it's not. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Please. Yes, please.
Hi, my name is Haruyo Miyamoto from Tokyo Broadcasting System. Thank you very much for today's briefing, and I would like to hear your view on sanction regime. In the Security Council, a certain member state says that all member states must fully implement sanctions against DPRK. That's all the time what they say. But at the same time, the same country itself doesn't comply with Security Council resolutions sometimes. For example, what we've seen with the Iranian nuclear deal, the country has just withdrew from the nuclear deal, and then which means they don't comply the Security Council resolution. So as I'm a bit worried that this kind of unilateral action might undermine the authority of Security Council resolution or sanction. And so as the president, how would you restore the authority of the Security Council resolution, especially as the presidency after U.S.
Thank you very much. Just please. And then, sir, and we'll do another round.
Thank you. Aida Tama, Deutsche Welle. I have a question regarding the program last day. There is the UNMIC report and some other about Bosnia-Herzegovina, and I would like to know a little bit more what to expect. Is the report this three-monthly report, or is something special, or is the...
Thank you very much. Thank you. Sir.
George Baumgarten, Mr. President, thank you very much for this briefing. My best wishes for your presidency. The trip to the DRC, can you tell us a little bit more about your program? Will you be going anywhere outside of Kinshasa? Will you be going where there are reports of the Ebola outbreak? I've been seeing the reports of the Ebola outbreak, but it's not always clear exactly where it is. Is it up in the Kivu provinces in the northeast or the center or somewhere in between? And also, on the 25th, do I understand correctly, you're going to have a Palestinian representative from civil society? Is that on the 25th debate or the one a week earlier on the 18th, which I assume is including the Palestinian question?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sir, please.
Yeah, thank you, Nizar Abud of Al Mayadeen Television. First of all, are you going to follow the American example by making the statement of the President of the Security Council first This tradition was established last month by the U.S. mission here. Are you going to follow that example, or will you follow the old example that the president speaks last? Another question is regarding Yemen. I don't think there's any more urgency for international peace and security and the safety of the people more than Yemen. Why Bolivia did not raise the question that Yemen should be put as a priority here?
Thank you very much. And the last one, please.
This is a follow-up of Rhonda's question. In the meeting on non-proliferation, Sergei Lavrov spoke out against the weaponization of healthcare, medical care. And in the case of the malaria, the Global Fund for Malaria, AIDS, and Tuberculosis, cutting funding to patients who are being treated for tuberculosis will lead almost inevitably to resistant strains of tuberculosis, which are much more difficult to treat and also which could create a pandemic. And so I raised the issue with Sergei Lavrov of the use of medical care or the abuse, withholding of medical care, actually being a form of biological warfare, creating diseases that did not need to exist. He said that he saw the withholding of medical care and the grotesque failure of the humanitarian exemptions, he saw it as a violation of the sanctions. So since China and Russia are being yelled at for violating the sanctions, why are not the other countries being criticized for violating the sanctions in their failure to implement the humanitarian exemptions to the resolution sanctions against North Korea? Sweden is the only country which has actually made an issue of this.
Thank you very much. Please.
Samar Nader from El Nashra, Lebanon. The Security Council will discuss this month on 23rd the resolution 1559 concerning Lebanon, about Lebanon. This resolution was made to withdraw the Syria forces, army forces from Lebanon. And the Syria army are out of Lebanon since 2000. So what you're going to discuss in this resolution?
That's the 15th, right?
23rd of October, 1559.
1559. I report you, 1559,
isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, please.
Yeah, today the ICJ issued a statement on the U.S. and Iran, saying the U.S. has to compensate. There was a case in 2015 between Bolivia and Chile, which I guess was the ICJ issued a statement against Bolivia. Do you accept that pronouncement?
Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Okay. I hope I cover all your questions. On MINURSO, one of you rightly said that MINURSO is mentioned four times in the program of work. We are supposed to have a troop contributing countries meeting on MINURSO. We have consultations on MINURSO, and we have the adoption of a resolution because the mandate of MINURSO expires at the end of the month. Remember that we adopted a resolution 6 months ago, and it gave just 6 months of mandate. So that's why you will find MINURSO mentioned four times in the program of work. On DPRK, we have established clearly that the sanctions should not have a humanitarian. Should not have humanitarian consequences. And we have pointed out in our last meeting that the committee is dealing with the humanitarian exceptions. So, and of course, we are keeping an eye on that. Regarding the sanctions regimes, how to restore the credibility or authority of the Security Council, that's a very, very good question. And I like to say that one of the first steps that we should all take is for everyone to comply with the Council's resolutions, and there should be no exceptions for that. One of you asked about the Bosnia and ANMIC. We have mentioned that because there's a report due on Bosnia and Herzegovina, and the mandate cycle that we need. That's the end of the mandate cycle report. That's why it's mentioned on the 31st. On DRC, as I said, the council will just visit Kinshasa. We didn't have any plans to go anywhere else, and all the meetings will be held there. It is going to be a short visit, really. That was, I think, the question on DRC. The briefer on women, peace, and security, open debate. Yes, it is. When we talked about a Palestinian briefer, that's for the 25th, the open debate on women, peace, and security. We want to, as president of the council, we want to highlight the issue of Palestine as much as we can. It is a priority for my country. And we will have, of course, a Palestinian civil society representative for women, peace, and security. On Yemen, we had two meetings on Yemen last month. We are open to have and ready to have as many meetings as needed on that particular issue. The fact that it is not on the program, it doesn't mean that we don't consider it important. As I said, we did have two meetings in September, and if there is any need for another meeting, we will have one. On the 1559, you know that there are discussions that are based on the respect of sovereignty of Lebanon. That's another example of how to really uphold the authority of the Security Council, as you might find, as it is not a surprise, the list is not short of those kind of issues. I think that I hope I cover all your questions.
ICJ.
Ah, no, I have one at the ICJ.
ICJ.
I would like to do this in Spanish, as it was also asked by one of your Spanish-speaking colleagues on two issues. The first one on the blockade against Cuba, and bloqueo en contra de.
So the blockade against Cuba, this is not on the Council agenda for the Security Council, but for my country, this is of the greatest of importance. It's a priority. The date for when the General Assembly will be once again voting on that resolution is the 31st of October. So during our Council presidency, as you will have seen, we haven't got any meetings planned for that day, because we believe that the attention of all members of the organisation should be focused on that.
Mm-hmm.